Let us start with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for today, Father God. We want to thank you that you have blessed us with this place, Father, to come and just to worship you, Father God. Thank you that our lives will continue to be a life of worshiping you, Father God. I pray that we want to use ourselves, Father God, to expand your kingdom, Father God. I pray for your blessings upon each and every one of us here, Father God. I also pray that you'll use me to speak your word, Father. And anything that is not of you, Father God, I will not speak, Father God. And I will not register to the people that are listening, Father God. We want to thank you, Father God. In your Son, Jesus Christ's name, I pray. Amen. So last time when I was sharing during EMP, I shared that I sensed that God was telling me to share about faith, hope, and love. Last time I shared about faith, the faith of Abraham, and what we can learn from him. How his understanding in faithfulness was as he was walking with God. His faith was developed to a point that he was able to sacrifice his own son. And how that was a prophecy and a picture that thousands of years later, that another father will sacrifice his son on a mountain. Also, we learned that how Abraham was able to surrender and believe all things are possible with God. Abraham was someone that I always look up to since when I first became a Christian. I was subconsciously just attracted to this character. I recall when I first started to look into Christianity, one of my videos I came across is this series called Ancient Secrets of the Bible. It's an old series. I don't know if any one of you remember or have ever watched that. It is a series where it scientifically and historically examines Bible's most mysterious and controversial stories. One particular episode always stands out in my mind was they're talking about the proof of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. I remember the scene that started with like three angels appeared to Abraham while he was sitting outside his tent. These men suddenly appeared from afar, and somehow Abraham immediately knew that they were someone special. So he immediately asked the servants to prepare the best meal that they can. One of them, which I truly believe, was the Christophany of Jesus Christ, which is in and of itself is another story, another discussion will go in the future. A promise of a son was given to Abraham. And as these three men were leaving, the Lord told Abraham that what he will be doing to Sodom and Gomorrah. Then Abraham somehow started to bargain. What about there are 50 righteous people? Will you still destroy the city, Lord? The Lord said no. And then he reduced the benchmark. What about 45? The Lord said no. What about 40? The Lord said no. In the end, what about 10? The Lord still said no. Somehow Abraham knew the goodness of God through this conversation. And that scene always stuck to me. I always have a special feeling. Whenever I'm reminded, when I was preparing this, I was remembered that scene always had come to my mind. And how I long for that kind of communication with God and that intimacy that Abraham had. And that understanding that God is good. So for the topic on hope today, the Bible is full of characters and stories that can give us an idea of a biblical hope. The whole Bible is full of people who had hope. But for me, somehow, during the preparation, I was continuously drawn to Abraham. So I will use Abraham as an example again on what we can learn from hope. With that, let's turn our Bibles to Romans 4. And we'll be reading verses 16 to 21. Romans 4, verses 16 to 21. For this reason, it is by faith, in order that it may be in accordance with grace, so that the promise will be guaranteed to all the descendants, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, the father of many nations I have made you. in the presence of his in the presence of him whom he believed, even God, who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. In hope against hope, he believed, so that he might become a father of many nations, according to that which he has been spoken. So shall your descendants be. Without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully assured that what God had promised, he was able to also to perform. Amen. So what is hope? According to Cambridge Dictionary, last time I used Oxford, this time I used Cambridge, just to balance off the rivalry among them. Hope is the feeling that something desired can be had or will happen. Or to want something to happen or to be true, and usually have a good reason to think that it might. When we use the word hope in a worldly view, it's always this wishy-washy, wondering if it will happen or not, wait and see kind of feeling. I hope I'll get the job. I hope she'll like me. I hope I can finish my project on time. There's always a certain uncertainty in general when we talk about hope or use hope in our sentences. But what is biblical hope? Hope is actually a very important concept in the Bible. There are many words of hope used in the Bible. In the Old Testament, two main Hebrew words that were used. The first one is yakhal, yakhal, which means to wait for. The other one is kavah, qavah, which also means to wait for, but with an expectation of something to happen. It is kind of like to wait for a cord that is being stretched to the extent, almost to the breaking point, and you are waiting for that string to break. Or like a pregnant woman who has reached the full term of giving birth and the baby is about to be born at any time, and she's longing and waiting for the baby to be born. It's kind of that kind of excitement is attached to waiting. And in the New Testament, the Greek word used is elpis, E-L-P-I-S, which means joyful and confident expectation. This hope is based on the empty tomb and the risen person of Jesus Christ. It is a hope in a person and not in circumstances. It is also called living hope. Biblical hope is something that we wait with a feeling of tense expectation and confidence for something to happen. So hope in the world, relative, not 100% sure, maybe, maybe not. Hope in the word, certain, 100% sure it's going to happen. In the verses we just read, Paul was describing what was written in Genesis 18, verse 9 to 12. It is actually the same scene that I was talking about in the ancient secrets of the Bible, where the three angels came to visit Abraham. In those verses, the angel of the Lord told Abraham that he will have a son next year. Sarah was listening at the tent door, and since she was way past the childbearing age, she laughed at herself, saying, "After I have become old, shall I have the pleasure, my Lord being old also?" When this news about their son was announced to Abraham, it was a dire situation. Even when Abraham and Sarah were young, they were unable to be conceived. Sarah was barren. They could not have children. And now both Abraham and Sarah are old and way past their childbearing age. There was no possible way naturally that they could conceive, but yet God promised them a child. From Romans verse 18, "In hope against hope he believed, so that he might become a father of many nations, according to which he had been spoken, so shall your descendants be." Abraham evidently believed in the promise of God that he will have a son. "God, you promised it, I believed it." That was his attitude. Against hope means that from an ordinary human standpoint, it was impossible. There was no hope. There are two ways that Abraham could have looked into this situation. He could have looked at his own physical senses that were telling him and act upon them. Or he could have looked into the physical senses in addition to the word of God and the voice of God. Abraham chose to hold what God told him, apart from what his body was telling him. How do I know? Simple biology. For them to have a child, they have to do certain actions, right? Nothing would have happened if Abraham was like, oh, I'm old, Sarah is old, look at our bodies. It's impossible. I don't think anything's going to happen. I'll sleep outside the tent, counting the stars, looking at the skies. Or like, let's hold our hands and sleep. If it was supposed to happen, it will happen. No, Abraham and Sarah continued to do what they were supposed to do in order to conceive. The hope that Abraham had in the promises of God gave him a confidence and pressing into action on the situation where it was humanly impossible. The hope that Abraham had required him to take actions. The biblical hope should be like giving us determination and perseverance to move towards the promises God has given us, no matter how humanly impossible it looks. Keep doing what you are supposed to be doing. Hope leads us into action. But this hope in God is not automatically sustained. We must protect this hope. If not, one day we may find ourselves without hope, resulting in lack of faith and crushed and unfulfilled dreams. If we are not careful, we will fall into this sense of hopelessness subconsciously. The enemy is very skillful in this area. We start off with this life with fire in our hearts, serving the Lord. Then as life happens, all the hurts, lies, broken promises from people, family, friends will start to weigh us down. Disappointments with dreams we had, disappointments with things we wanted to do for the Lord, for the ministry, for your husband, your wife, children, will start to make your heart not motivated anymore. Proverbs 13 verse 12 says, unfulfilled dreams will make your heart sick, and a sick heart is what the enemy is looking for to derail you from the destiny from in the Lord. As this subconscious sense of hopelessness creeps in, we will start to say things like, I'm burned out. I need a break from this ministry, from serving the Lord, serving the church, my family, my parents, my husband, my wife. I need a break. I'm tired. We will start to make unwise decisions in our lives. The enemy will be jumping up and down, giving high fives to his minions and saying, yes, one more down from their camp. I'm not saying to disregard these emotions and feelings of hopelessness, but like Abraham in verse 19 to 21, face those feelings head on and bring it up to the Lord. Cry out to the Lord if you do experience this kind of feelings. Abraham did not deny his conditions of his body. He did not lie to himself or somehow make his mind and believe that he is young, vibrant, and energetic. He knew he wasn't a spring chicken anymore. He accepted the fact that he and his wife are dead as far as bringing a child into the world is concerned. However, he did not waver in his faith. And he believed that God will somehow do what he had promised. Sarah being called barren wasn't fun in those days. Knowing Ishmael, the one that he loved, the work of his flesh isn't going to be the promised one, wasn't comforting for Abraham as well. Yet they continued to hope and believe and live their lives with expectation of a promised son. Biblical hope always helps us to believe in promise of God and live our life in a dignified manner, where no matter what circumstances, we can walk with our heads high and not to give up. Hope stops us from giving up. Then in verse 20, We see that Abraham did not waver in unbelief, but grew stronger in faith and giving glory to God. The word glory means dignity, honor, praise, and worship. Abraham continued to worship the Lord, knowing that what he had promised, he will make it happen. So back in March this year, I went to London to visit my parents. And on the second day, it was snowing. And somehow a car skidded and crashed into a gas pipe, causing a huge leak near my apartment. At first, the police came and told us there's nothing to worry and it'll be fine. But as time goes by, they were not able to stop the gas leak. And evidently, we were evacuated from our homes. There were like around 300-400 families. So my Hong Kong efficient mentality was like, okay, this gas company will come in 2 hours, in an hour or something. They'll close the pipe and everything will be fine. We'll be able to go home. So we just left with our wallets and in our sleeping clothes. And we went to a car park nearby, a supermarket, and stayed there and waited. But as time goes by, 3 a.m., 4 a.m., we see the cordon area expanding. Trams were stopped. Traffic was stopped. And we asked the officer, so what's happening? When can we go home? He said it doesn't look good. They are still not able to stop the gas leak. And we were like, uh-oh, what are we going to do? It was almost 5 a.m. and we decided to go to a hotel so that my parents can rest a bit. Not until next morning at around 9 a.m. they were able to stop the leak. The leak kind of started at 8 p.m. the day before. The efficiency is just, I don't know, they felt that nothing's going to happen or something. And then I was like, okay, so at last we read the news. I mean, we read online that, oh, it's going to, the leaking has stopped. And then we were like excited. Okay. So we checked out at around 12 o'clock. But no, we were not able to go home because the gas company somehow has to go into each and every apartment to check if there's no other leakages to make sure that there won't be any explosions or something like that. By then, a gym was turned into a shelter for all the people that were affected to have a place to stay if they have no place to stay, or where the information will be spread out to them, what's the next steps that's going to happen. So every hour, me and my family will go and wait for the update. The update was like, on the board it was written, no updates. Come back in next hour. Come back in next hour, no updates. Come back in next hour. So we were getting frustrated. We're getting angry at each other, obviously, sitting in a car for almost 20-something hours. We were like, I mean, it was not a good feeling. And we were like tired, even though we slept in a hotel, it was still tiring. It's nothing as comfortable as our own beds, right? I was getting frustrated. I was getting upset and hopeless. I was starting to think maybe, I have to spend another day in the hotel, in wearing the same clothes and everything. Then there was a time when I was alone. I still remember it's around 5 p.m., so it's like 20-plus hours after the whole incident that we were evacuated. My parents, they went to get some coffee because it was provided free. So we went to get something. So I just somehow opened up a worship song and sing along. And when I started to sing along that song, I sensed a peace coming upon on top of me. And I realized that during the past 20-some hours, the frustration, irritation, and the sense of hopelessness in my mind was in the hope in the gas company's ability to fix the problem. And it was not a biblical hope. By worshiping the Lord for just one song, my whole view of the situation changed. The circumstances didn't change. We still have to wait for 4 to 5 hours before we could go home. But worshiping aligned my mind and spirit to the real hope that I can have, which is in God. It was the same in Abraham's case. He was doing the same. His body was dead in terms of having a children. His understanding of having children as numerous as the stars was nowhere to be seen. But he didn't waver. He didn't go into unbelief. He kept on glorifying God, worshiping him. If we see throughout Abraham's life, we can see him worshiping in all circumstances, all situations. In tithing, he worshipped. Building, he built altars wherever he had an encounter with God. He lived a worshipping lifestyle to keep his hope aligned with God's promises. Can I invite Ernie to come and lead us into worship? Finally, biblical hope is not an optimism, but a choice to actively act and wait on God for his promises. Optimism is choosing to see a situation that it could work out best. Biblical hope is not focused on circumstances. Usually we don't see any evidence that things could get better, but we choose to hope anyway. Abraham has the true understanding of hope. We should all aspire to have the same understanding of hope as Abraham had. Last time I shared, when I shared about faith, I said that faith is infectious and it can affect people around you. And hope is the medium used by faith to be infectious. Faith and hope are complementary. Faith is grounded in the reality of the past. Hope is looking to the reality of the future. Without faith, there is no hope. And without hope, there is no true faith. We as believers of Jesus Christ must be people of faith and hope. A hope of eternal life, hope of a Savior who gives promises and will keep his promises. So has God given you a promise and you are not seeing a glimmer of hope, a glimmer of that promise to be fulfilled? Are you on the verge of giving up your calling, your ministry, your family, your destiny? Let's worship the Lord and align ourselves with the reality of a true biblical hope. And let the Holy Spirit speak to us.
Sing true and true. True and true. Sing true and true.
Father, we come here in repentance, Father God, that we have placed our hope in the world, Father God. Lord, we ask for your forgiveness, Father God, that whenever we are in situations, we'll look into our own flesh, into the circumstances, but always forget that you are the true living hope. Father God, I pray and ask you, Father God, that we will realign our mind and our spirit. I look into the hope, a certain hope, the hope that is in you, Father God. And we will continue to believe that, Father God, whatever you have promised, Father God, you will bless us with that promise, Father. Lord, we want to thank you, Father God, that you are a promise keeper. Even though we may be faithless, but you are faithful. We want to thank you, Father God, for being a good, good Father. Thank you in Jesus Christ's name. Okay, let's turn our attention to the community prayer focus. Let's pray for these people on the slide that are going through cancer, chemo, and radiation therapies. Let's also pray for our community who are ill, but are also in the need of salvation. Pray for our community who is going through infirmities. Pray for our brothers and sisters who are looking for jobs. Pray that during this time that they'll be able to spend their time wisely and they'll be able to have favor in their lives, and they'll be able to also get a better understanding of the characters and the goodness of our Father. Let's pray for a mission focus. Let's continue to pray for North Korea. As we can see, there are a lot of breakthroughs are happening. I pray for open doors for ministry, and that this situation will continue to improve. Also pray for mission opportunities and partnerships in Asia, persecuted churches, the Middle East. Let's pray for our weekend gatherings. Alpha, today is week 3, and the topic is, why did Jesus die? We pray that the guests will be able to experience and understand why did Jesus came and died for our sins, and pray that the Holy Spirit will speak to them. Pray for EG Retreat, GIC, Women's Discipleship, Prison Outreach, Drug Rehab Outreach, all the Sunday services, Noah's Ark, Worship, Hospitality, SP Youth, Yahweh, SPIN services and activities, and all the meetings. Let's pray for house churches, Fortress, House to House, Mawan, Southside and Westside. I pray that that they'll have a great fellowship time today, and as they discuss about the sermon, they were able to have gain more understanding and wisdom on the topic. Father God, we want to thank you for today, Father God. Thank you that you have given us a hope that doesn't shake, Father God. Lord, I pray that as we continue in our daily lives, Father God, I pray that we will have a worshiping lifestyle, Father God. Then whatever we do, Father God, we will be worshiping you, Father God. It will be a great testimony to people around us, Father God. And we'll be infectious to other people and bring them closer to knowing you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we want to thank you. We pray all these things in your Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Continue to have your quiet time and see you guys tomorrow.